Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys, welcome back to our Wednesday episode of Equip You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast. And one issue that I see keep coming up in interviews on my first book on the word explored is the issue of distractions. And it's a significant issue that I think many people struggle with in Bible reading. And I think I'm hoping that today's episode will help you. You know, we face distractions all the time. You know, we have that perpetual distraction of our cell phones. If you have one of those with us all the time, we can just flip it open, check Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and the list goes on and on. And for guys, sports, or for ladies, you know, whatever you ladies check out, you know, distractions are all around us. And the Bible, thankfully, speaks to our distractions. In Luke 10, that famous story of, you know, Martha. One night, Jesus and some of his friends, they're reclining at dinner. One of his friends, Mary, was eagerly sitting at his feet, fully focused, soaking in every word that he was saying. But, you know, Martha's sister, Mary, was busy serving, bussing the table, cleaning up, doing stuff. She got upset and she asked Jesus why Mary didn't care to help her. Now, Jesus' response is very simple, but it's also very powerful. Luke 10, 41 through 42 says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." Now, although Martha had good intentions by serving, she's ultimately distracted. She's being pulled in many directions. And when she faced the choice between sitting at Jesus' feet and worshiping him, she chose to worry about the household chores. This could have waited till later. Now, Jesus lovingly convicted Martha, telling her that her sister had chosen the better and the greater possession, close fellowship with him. Now, in saying this, he gently tugged at her heart, in a way asking her to examine her heart, examine her motivations. So what are some helpful ways to, we need to talk about, what are some helpful ways to fight distraction? Well, the first thing to do is, as you're opening God's word, spend a few moments, or if you've already opened your copy of God's word, pray before you start. Ask the Lord to illuminate his word to you, to help you to understand it, to show you great and wonderful things in his word. We need to remember here that as Christians, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in his indwelling ministry to us? It's to teach us the truth of Scripture. It's to teach us the truth of Scripture, and from Scripture to point us to Jesus, and then to send us out on mission. So prayer, it helps us, right? We have 24/7 access, Hebrews 4, 16 tells us, before the throne of grace. Our prayer lives are a way of communicating and talking with God. We make our requests known to God, and that's why we're to pray. It's where to pray scriptural prayers. So why shouldn't we then, if prayer is so vital, why shouldn't we ask the Lord to help us with our distraction? Asking the Lord to help us stay focused, keep our minds stayed on him as we're reading scripture, that this is so vital because it'll help you. It'll help you to be more focused on the text, and asking the Holy Spirit to teach you the truth of scripture will help you to learn what God has for you in that time of reading or even that time of study. You know, as you're looking at what does this verse say? How do I interpret this verse? These kind of things help. Now, the other thing, find a time that works for you, for your time of reading scripture. Getting into a routine is so vital. I can't even tell you. And as you develop this routine, it's probably going to take about 30 days. Don't quit during those 30 days. During those 30 days, you're building a habit. And it takes about 30 days for this to become a habit in your life. And you don't have to be a routine person. Some people find that hard, but getting in a rhythm, spending 5 to 15 minutes to start in the Word of God, you need to understand you need this. You need this like you need food and water and sleep. You need it. You need the Word of God. You know, creating routines, it helps fight distractions because it helps you to focus. Set some clear expectations. How much time are you going to spend in the Bible? I would suggest starting at 5 to 15 minutes. I would suggest also start with the book that your pastor is preaching through. Read that over and over and over again. You have 5 to 15 minutes in your schedule. If you don't, it's time to take stock of what you have in your life, because that 5 to 15 minutes is vital for your spiritual growth, to read the Word of God. Now, the third one, turn off or put away your phone. Our phones and electronics are by far the biggest distraction when it comes to our Bible reading. If you have an animal, that might be a close second. Take your phone, you know, for example, when I'm recording episodes, I'll put it over here on another part away from me so that it's not going to distract me, on another table in my office or somewhere else around the house even. And that helps me because I'm not even going to look at it. And that helps also with our Bible reading. Put it in a different room. Put it in a different part of your house if you have to. Spend that time focusing on Scripture. Another option is to put your phone on the Do Not Disturb or completely, as I said, in a different room. You know, you need this. You need this time. God has given you His Word, and you are to delight over His Word, because how else are you going to get to know God? You know, He's revealed Himself in the 66 books that constitute Scripture, and God is inviting you. He's inviting you in this revelation of His Word to know Him. And as a Christian indwelt by the Spirit, you should long to spend this time. 5 to 10 minutes, maybe even 15, 20, spending quality time getting to know the Lord. You know, if you want to hear God speak, read your Bible. If you want to hear Him speak out loud, right? Read the Word out loud. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Maybe even start taking some notes. Even journal your way through the Bible. If you like to write, that might be a way to do it. Maybe even highlight or write on a certain passage that particularly was meaningful to you. Sometimes even something I've seen over the years is even just typing out the verse or handwriting the verse. You know, these are all good things that can help you. You know, it also help you to retain the information if you're like to keep busy with your hands. This is another way, you know, type it out, type out the verse, or, you know, get a notebook and start jotting down thoughts and notes. Another thing that can be helpful as you're reading the Bible, maybe listen to some classical music or, you know, like Beethoven or Mozart or worship music from Sovereign Grace Music or the Gettys, for example. You know, I find this to be helpful as well. In my own Bible reading, I don't have worship music on. After I'm done reading my Bible, or even we're going to talk about listening to the Bible here in a minute, I'll turn on worship music, and I'll often throughout the day either have classical or some worship music on. And I personally find that helpful throughout the day. You know, I am a fan of Bible reading plans with a qualification. I think that probably the best way to start with the Bible reading plan is to read the book that your pastor is preaching through. I think that's the best. Keep reading it, reading over and over and over again, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to know that book. You're going to be able to use that book in your ministry towards other people. You're going to know it so well. You're just going to know it. You're going to be able to talk about that passage, that book, and what it means, and those types of things. And so this will help you to build your biblical literacy in a significant way. Not to mention, it'll help you to apply the Scripture to your life, because you're hearing your pastor preach through it. You're reading it. You're hopefully talking about the sermon that you're you're learning about or from your pastor in your small group, or maybe with some friends, you know, these kind of things. Now, a Bible reading plan can be helpful. You know, there's so many of them. You can just Google them. But even just reading through the Bible is starting in Genesis and working your way through, however long that takes. You know, don't feel like, oh, I have to read, you know, 5 chapters or 10 chapters, whatever, at your pace. Remember, this is God's word. You know, reading through the Bible is a good practice in a year. Is a good practice. It is a good goal. But there's no shame in if you read through the Bible in 2-3 years or 3 years. Spend quality time every day, 5 to 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes in God's word. Get to know the God who has revealed himself in the word of God. Well, I also want to encourage you to do some digging. One way to stay focused on Bible reading is by looking out for keywords, definitions, writing down questions. This will help keep you focused and intentional about what you're reading. It'll help you dig a bit deeper into what the Bible is saying. You'll want to look at the context, you know, who wrote the book, why did they write it, those types of things. Write down, highlight themes and words, questions you may have, words to look up in a dictionary that will help you dig deeper. If you want more, you can go to our website, servantsofgrace.org. Under the publication tab, you can click Theology for Life. Scroll down just a little bit, and you'll find an issue on hermeneutics, which is the art and science of biblical interpretation. There you can learn a little bit more about this subject, and I encourage you to check it out. Grab an accountability friend. Now, this is important because we can often want to give up, but we need somebody to ask us, how are you doing at your Bible reading? What are some things that are standing out in the text that you're reading or you're listening to, and these kind of things? They can ask us about our prayer life. They can ask us, you know, how are you growing in your theology? How's your prayer life? How's things in your marriage? And so on and so forth. And the goal there, right, is to come alongside, as we often talk about on this show, and to put an arm around one another's shoulder and to say, just see, hey, what's up? How are we doing? How are we doing in our walk? How are we doing in our life? What's going on? It's so vital. Check your heart. Now, Jeremiah 17:9 says our hearts are wicked. It's true. You know, we're sinful. We're as Luther says, we're summa justus el pector, at the same time saint and sinners. And so our naturally, we don't cling to the truth or love or morality. We may have good intentions, but we also should always check our hearts. You know, as we're talking about Martha and Mary, you know, our hearts really are the main issue. We need to ask ourselves, what are the things that are distracting me the most? Is there any unconfessed sin in my life that's keeping me from desiring to fellowship with God, to spend time with him? You know, doing in a 2 Corinthians 13:5 way to examine our hearts and return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40 even says this: let us examine our ways and return to the Lord. That's a good thing for us, a good practice, and that helps us to keep short accounts even with God. Another reason why we should be engaging in the spiritual disciplines. You know, personally, one practice that I find really helpful with Bible reading is listening actually to Scripture. I do this every morning as I'm getting ready for the day. I will turn on the ESV Bible app and I'll listen to the Bible, however long it takes me to get reading. I find that this not only helps me to start my day in a good way, but it helps me to stay focused. Now, I start at Genesis and I just go right through. But I'm also studying for specific things during the day. Like here soon, I'm going to start studying through James because I'm going to be teaching through James on the Servants of Grace podcast in February of next year. And I'm also working on a sermon that I'm going to be delivering later this month in November. And on thankfulness. So I'm studying 1 Thessalonians 5 and other passages on thankfulness. And for those, I'm reading the text. I'm looking at it. But listening to the Bible, I like to listen straight through Scripture because that helps me to always keep in mind, the whole Bible. Now, I have a confession to make as well with that. It only has been, I used to be better at this, but over the last few years, I've kind of slacked in that in this whole Bible perspective, because when I was most of the time when I'm teaching through a book, I want to listen to it again and again and again and again, because I like to get in the Bible. I like to get in that book. But I was thinking about it. I'm really missing out also on the whole Bible. So in the last few months, I've been getting back to this practice of listening through the whole Bible. And now I'm already almost to the end of Joshua. So this is just, it just refreshes me. I find it's just a really, really helpful practice. So especially if you're a Bible study teacher or a pastor and you're listening to this podcast, I would just say start listening as you're getting ready, you know, for the day. You know, maybe that takes you 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Spend that time. Turn up the ESV Bible app on your phone as you're getting ready and just start listening. And even on your ride, you know, you can spend that time if you like listening to the Bible and getting Scripture in your heart, in your mind. It's just so, so helpful. Read the word out loud. You know, we just kind of talked about that. If you want to hear God speak, read the word. If you want to hear him speak out loud, right? Read the word out loud. Now, you know, read whatever scripture you're reading in the Bible out loud. Now, it might seem weird out loud, but say it out loud. This gives you an extra incentive to pay attention because you're declaring it out loud. And you can even make it fun. If you're reading a story in the Bible, use voice fluctuations or even different voices to narrate the characters. You know, seriously, anything you can do to keep your mind set and undistracted is a win. You know, distraction it's a frequent reminder of our frailty, our limits, that we're not God. And since we're given to such unjustifiable and even ridiculous levels of pride, this is good for all of us. You see, distraction, it humbles us. It forces us to ask God for the help we desperately need. It also can help build our faith. If we see the Spirit giving graces of humility and faith growing in us through our struggles against distraction, we need to count that among the all things we give thanks for. You see, God also used distraction to strengthen our self-control. Christian self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. That's what Paul says in Galatians 5:22-23. And like all the Spirit's fruit of sanctification in us, they're cultivated through the primary decisive gift of the Spirit and secondary but indispensable intentional hard work. It's helpful to remember that we strengthen self-control similarly to how we strengthen muscle through resistance. Muscles do not grow strong without pushing against resistance, and neither does self-control. There's no getting around the hard work of applying ourselves and figuring out what works best for us. But you see, and we'll talk about this, going to talk about this idea of what works best for us next month. But if we prayerfully and even faithfully apply ourselves, the Spirit will empower our efforts and we'll see our capacity for self-control increase. Now, just as with physical strength and ability, some are graced with greater ability to focus than others. And if you're one of those people, then good stewardship of this gift looks different than it does for less gifted people. Like a gifted athlete, you're made to excel. Seek to maximize it. For to whom much is given, of him much will be required. Luke 12:48. If you're a person who, for whatever reason, has a more difficult struggle with distraction, as a Christian, you don't need to feel condemned. As a Christian, you're in Christ. And Paul says in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And for you, good stewardship looks like fighting distraction as best as you can. But push yourself. You may not be comfortable or able to do what others can, but God will only hold you accountable for the measure that he's given you. Do something. You know, we need to understand that healthy habits are the result of strategies. If resolves are object, desired outcomes, habits are strategies. Or to even use a different metaphor, the engine of our resolve must run on the tracks of our habits. So resolve can only travel as far as the tracks of habit have been laid. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. That verse helps set our expectation. Spiritual maturity is the goal. Constant practice is the means. Now, growing up in high school, and even today, specifically in high school, I played competitively. I played competitively golf, and before that, I played soccer and tennis and even football. You know, to play those sports, you have to practice to be any good at them. You have to have some talent, some gifts, to be very good. But behind them is the idea that practice the fundamentals. This is what we're talking about in this episode. Practice the fundamentals. Reading your Bible 5 to 10 minutes. Understanding that this is a means of God's grace and that it's a means to help you grow. You need to exercise this means to help you grow to be like Christ, because God delights over his word and he delights over you, so you should delight as an indwelled Christian by the Holy Spirit to read the word of God. And the point here is constant practice is the only way any skill is grown and maintained in anything, including the skill of distinguishing between fruitful focus and unfruitful distraction. Well, you might be wondering, what does that mean? You know, there's no specific way that this works. You know, this is so important, even, and we're going to talk about this in a future episode, but I'll get into it a little bit here. You know, we often want, well, what does this look like? But the danger of saying, oh, well, this is 1, 2, 3, 4. You're going to go do the 1, 2, 3, 4. But then you're going to say, well, Dave, that didn't work for me. What I want you to do instead is I want you to understand the principles. How are you? You need to ask yourself, because you know yourself, or even ask your spouse or ask a close friend. You know, I feel like I get distracted in this. What do you think? Do you see that I get distracted in this? And they may all not honestly know. Your wife may know. But you have to know yourself. You have to know your tendencies. And this is why telling you, oh, well, do this, and you'll be successful. It doesn't work that way. You know, like when I'm in church, oftentimes I'll look all around and just at different people. I like to people watch, or when I'm at a conference, I'll do the same thing. Or I'm out and about, I'll do the same thing. You know, I get distracted easily in that way. But the thing is when we're coming to God's word, we're spending that time. We need to understand that's why maybe we only need to spend 5 minutes. If you really struggle with this, start 5 minutes, then go to 10 minutes. Build up your muscles, your spiritual muscles in study. Give yourself a break. If you're doing a Bible study, you're not going to or studying for a Bible study or a class or something. If you spend, you know, several hours doing something, the same thing, and you don't take a break, you're going to get tired. If you find yourself getting tired, take a break, come back and spend some more time reading the word and so on and so forth. You know, the same kind of things apply at your work, right? Usually most employers give you a 15-minute break a couple times a day, and then you get a 30-minute lunch, and you need to take that time to probably relax and decompress for those few minutes, not to mention you need the food. So you need to find out the ways in which you're facing distraction, things that, you know, cause you to be distracted, and just noticing some things about yourself. You know, these things will really help you to fight distraction. There's not just a, hey, let me tell you this and this and this. Okay, you need to, the biggest thing is you need to ask God to help you in this fight. You need to seek some accountability. You need to be honest with that accountability. You know, all aspects of the fight of faith is a fight. We need to build endurance. We need to learn discipline. We need to control our bodies. You see, God isn't merely concerned about the most efficient way to free us from distraction. He's concerned with what will produce the greatest and most enduring spiritual fruit in our lives. So prayerfully aim to defeat distraction through this slow and steady insurgency of building new habits one at a time, each time that you avail yourself of the means of grace, including reading your Bible and prayer, and those things. And over time, what you'll find is prayerfully, you know, by God's grace through the Spirit's work, you'll find that distractions become less and less, because you're not only understanding those things that cause you to be distracted, right? You're also facing them head on. With different ideas and different tactics. And this is why we need one another. You know, this would be a great subject to talk not only with your spouse about, but with a Christian friend about. You know, how do you ask them, how do you deal with distractions in your Bible reading and your prayer life? That invites a great conversation, you know, to learn from one another and those types of things. So, all right, guys. Well, I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Equipping You in Grace podcast. Until next Monday and Wednesday, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.